Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Center for American Progress here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I mean, you may be familiar with the notion that every generation of parents wants its children to be better off than they were. This is a basic measure of progress.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to leave them any money to do it, but I sure hope my kids are better off than I am.
Well, I have here a measurable sign that the next generation, maybe your grandkids' generation, will be spared something that we had to endure.
Oh, yeah, a hardship of some kind?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Justin and Jarrett Serovich, 2 8-year-old twins. You with me?
Yeah, I'm over it.
They have invented wedgie-proof underwear.
Get out!
The boys' invention, called the Ripaway 1000, has a waistband that simply tears off if someone attempts a wedgie. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, why not? I mean, they're going to rip anyway. What would you rather have, a ripped waistband or a ripped waistband and a wedgie? It's a sacrificial waistband. I love it. Well, these kids must have gotten a lot of wedgies in the playground.
Yeah, and they're only 8 years old. You know that somewhere in a middle school cafeteria, as we speak, there are bullies devising a way around it, a workaround of some kind.
Well, I know I'm going to get myself a pair of Ripaway 1000s just to be on the safe side. You figure they make them in size 48?
Ripaway 1000s.
Now, look, if you have a question about your car, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Katie in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
Hi, Katie. Katie, do you know anyone that could benefit from a pair of Ripaway 1000s?
I don't. I don't know anybody that regularly gets wedgies. Sorry.
And I mean, I haven't personally given a wedgie in days.
Oh!
Nor have I been the recipient.
No, it's, well...
Yeah, so you're the wedgie if you're the recipient? Is that how it works?
The wedger and the wedgie.
Oh,
yes.
Or is it the wedgie? Anyway, Katie, what can we do for you?
We're supposed to be talking about cars.
We're getting there.
Well, I have a 2001 Mitsubishi Mirage that has started making this obnoxious clicking sound. It's actually been doing it for about a year now.
A year?
Yes. Huh. But the check engine light just recently came on, so I figured maybe now something is actually wrong.
They may not be related if one thing happened a year ago.
They may not be. Maybe. We'll see.
So it's a clicking sound.
Yes. And I had a friend who actually used a very high-tech tool, actually just a rubber watering hose, and actually listened to where you plug in the spark plugs. And he's determined that the clicking sound is coming from in between two of the spark plugs down there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, on this engine, the spark plugs are down inside a well, are they not?
Yeah, sort of.
And
yeah.
Is the clicking regular, like tick, 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 tick?
Yeah. Okay.
And does it change when you step on the gas?
It does. It gets louder, and it clicks faster.
Yeah.
When I press on the gas. However, it's intermittent. It doesn't necessarily, you know, sometimes it does it when the engine is hot, sometimes when the engine is cold. I could be driving for an hour and all of a sudden it starts doing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, did the friend who listened do anything else besides listen?
We actually put this stuff into the oil. Yeah. That was, I guess, supposed to help clean something, and it didn't work. It's still definitely doing it.
Yeah, what
it's
stuff
not
was this?
Make any difference.
Animal, vegetable, or mineral? This stuff you put in.
I think it was a liquid.
A liquid. Okay,
yeah.
So it could be anything, right?
Yeah.
Well, I saw your friend must think that the noise is coming from the valve train, and it's not unusual for these engines, which have hydraulic lifters, to make that kind of a tick 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 noise. It can be worse on startup, you know, when the engine's cold.
Yeah.
Or it could be worse when the engine is warmed up and the lifters having to function with reduced oil pressure can make that sound, the tick, 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 tick. And if you rev it up, it sometimes will sound like...
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You've got all the symptoms.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah. but before you rip the engine apart and before you put any more additives in, there's one thing that sounds exactly... like a noisy valve, which a lifter would cause, and that is a loose spark plug.
So you ain't kidding.
Your friend should go and take the spark plug wrench and tighten up all the spark plugs. And I would certainly check that because it's a lot cheaper.
Does this friend of yours have any tools?
He had the hose.
He has a rubber hose he listens with, sort of like a stethoscope.
Well, then, you know, then take it to a gas station even. And
okay.
If
anyone can do this.
If they can't hear it, they can at the very least tighten up your spark plugs. And they might say, oh, geez, number one spark plug or number two spark plug was really loose. And then the noise might be gone.
And if it's not, there's a bad scenario.
Well, if not,
right?
then someone's going to take the the timing belt off and going to pull off the rockers. And the lifters are little tiny little things that are between the rockers and the valve stems. And it may be that you have to replace them.
Mm.
And,
okay.
And I, you know, because it's hard to know whether it's just one or two, you probably should replace them all.
Oh, good. Good deal.
Good. Oh, good. I'm so happy that you're happy. Now, as far as the check engine light, I don't know what that is. But
and I don't
it,
either. I think
but it's only been on a few weeks.
Yeah.
Well, call us next year. See you, Katie.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Gregory calling from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Hi, Gregory. What's
Gregory.
Up?
Gregory.
Well, I've got a 1995 Pontiac Bonneville.
Ooh.
And I've got a front left wheel that I believe is about to pop off.
Great.
But, but my dad says, get in the car, take your wallet out your back pocket, drive it, and feel it in your tush. You can tell which side it's on.
Oh, really? Oh, so you have to you carry your wallet on the left side?
Well, this is growing up. My dad used to, whenever he wanted to find out what was really wrong with the car, he would switch pockets, back pockets with the wallet because he said he could feel it in his cheeks.
Yeah.
But it hasn't worked for me.
So what's he expecting you to feel? He's expecting you to feel a bad ball joint? Is that what he thinks you have?
Well, he says if you've got a problem with the left side of the car, you'll be able to feel it in the left cheek. You'll either be able to feel it, from the engine, or if you've got a problem with your wheels and your tires, you'll feel it there.
It could. It's assuming you have sensitive enough cheeks.
Yeah, I mean you're your gonna father have, may have ultra-sensitive cheeks.
Is either one of you overweight?
No.
would you describe either one of you as bony?
I'm a big boned guy.
Big bone, but you're not skinny.
No,
you're not skinny. You're a big guy.
I'm a big guy. When I get in the car kind of goes down a little bit and jumps.
Uh-huh. And neither one of you is a lard butt. I mean, you wouldn't describe it. No, okay. Just checking. I mean, because we've got to know all the parameters here, you know.
Well, I mean, this is one way to find out which tire it is.
I suppose so.
It might be other ways.
I got a great idea. You could actually look.
You could look at the tires, and that might tell you just as much as you want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I would throw this thing up on a lift. If you don't have a lift, then you can just jack up one corner at a time. You can put the transmission in neutral with the engine off, obviously. And you can spin the left front wheel. And when you spin it, you may be able to see that the tire tread is separated or coming off or somehow or another the sidewall is damaged. But are you hearing a noise, a thumping noise as you go down the road?
Well, here's the thing. If I'm going a slow speed, say 30, 45 miles an hour, I'm hearing this. And the thumping, it's as if I've got a huge tractor tire with knobbies on there. It just gets worse and worse, but there's a grinding, and I can feel that grinding. You can hear it, but I can feel it more than
you can hear it
grinding.
By opening the windows.
But the grinding disturbs me. The grinding sounds like it's a wheel bearing.
I don't like it.
Well, Gregory, I think, no disrespect to Dad, but I think taking the wallet out is going to serve you well at the repair shop. So you drive to the repair shop, take the wallet out, throw yourself on the floor, throw yourself at their mercy. And say, fix my car before I kill myself, because I think you have a wheel bearing that's about
like
to fail, and that could cause the wheel to fall off or seize.
Well, when I'm on the highway, and let's say I'm going into a curve, and the curve is curving to my left.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Once I get into the main part of the curve, the car will actually make this minor little jerk back as if it's trying to straighten out the tire. And that kind of scared me, too. And my wife, she won't even get in the car with me anymore.
A smart woman is she.
Oh, she's absolutely right. Yeah. I wouldn't get in the car.
Well, I think what may be happening is when, for whatever reason,
this wheel's going to fall off.
Yeah, one of the balls in the wheel bearing, or one of the rollers, I don't know how this wheel bearing is constructed, is catching on something. And when it does that, it's trying to slow that wheel down or stop that wheel. So it's altering the path of the car. Yeah, I'm 99% convinced that you have a bad wheel bearing.
I feel more confident going to my mechanic now.
Yeah, you definitely have to go and do it before you go on the highway anywhere and drive slowly going to your mechanic.
And this is no time to be thinking with your butt.
With all with your wallet.
With all due respect to Dad. Yeah, I mean, it's okay to try to figure stuff out like this in its early stages. But when it gets to this point, you've got to act quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because pretty soon your wife's going to stop talking to you.
Well, that already happened. She won't even go to the car.
She won't even go to the car.
I don't blame her.
Unless you're happy with that, I would do something to change that situation.
But she's allowing you to get in the car, which may be a bad sign.
Yeah, she may have bought a big insurance policy. I would check your documents, Gregory. Anyway,
thanks, guys.
Good luck and get it looked at soon.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, the guy's in death throes here, and we're laughing. What's so funny about that?
This is a serious thing. No, nothing real. I shouldn't.
I think we should get serious
about it.
Should
we have a moment of silence?
We should have a moment
of
silence.
Our listeners would enjoy it.
Poor Gregory. I mean, he is being a schmuck, but what the heck?
888-CAR-TALK. Well, you know, when you've lived with a noise for a long time.
You just take it for granted.
Yeah, I mean, look how long I've been sitting next to you. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Yeah, but at least you know.
I know you're not going away either. 227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Kathy from Fullerton, California.
Kathy with a K.
Kathy with a K. You're right. I am with a K. Very good.
Yeah, I'm beginning to figure out his methodology. It's like Clever Hans. You know, anyway, Fullerton, you said?
From Fullerton, California.
What's going on, Kathy?
Well, I drive a PT Cruiser, 2002. We've decided that PT stands for piece of trash.
Really?
Yeah,
really? We've been pouring money into it. It only has 61,000 miles.
Ooh.
But it needs a couple thousand dollars worth of work again. And I own a local business. My lettering's all over the vehicle. Everybody knows my car. It's very distinctive.
And it keeps breaking down in the middle of the street.
It's terrible. And so I want to replace this car. I need a dependable car for my work. But I need something very distinctive looking to put the advertising on that really makes a statement like this PT Cruiser did.
Yeah.
And I've looked at a few different cars.
Yeah, what do you like?
Well, I originally looked at the Scion XB because it's very distinctive. But
love
the safety ratings are really low.
Well, that's the old one.
The old one doesn't have airbags that you'd like to have everywhere.
Yeah, the new one's not quite as distinctive, though, in the body style.
Oh, no, it's not quite as ugly, but it's pretty distinctive.
My brother was driving one just the other day.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, and people pulled me over and said, that thing's butt ugly.
They are kind of weird looking.
But there's a lot of room to put things on the side.
There is, and I'm also looking. I have my eye on a Saturn View that I sell on a lot here.
Ah.
It has a lot of room to put things and a lot of storage room.
Yeah, Saturn View's not bad. A Honda Element isn't bad.
The Element didn't have enough seats. It only seats four, and I've got a family of five, so that wouldn't work.
Well, the Chevy HHR.
Yeah, that's the one that looks sort of like the PT Cruiser.
Yeah, but a little better. In fact, I think the guy who designed the PT Cruiser went and designed that car.
Is the reliability any better with that car?
I don't know. We haven't seen one in the shop ever. And
okay.
You can certainly consult the usual suspects like Consumer Reports and all that to see what they say about the reliability. But it can't be worse than the PT Cruiser. So what kind of stuff is going wrong with the PT Cruiser in 61,000 miles?
Well, right now we're on our second radiator, we're on our third battery, we're on our fourth set of brake pads, and now we've had electrical problems, and now we found out it needs new control arms and bushings in the front end and a brake booster for the power brake.
Yeah.
And when do you decide to stop throwing good money after bad? If it keeps breaking down, and when will it, you know, I just feel like it's the money pit.
Yeah. No, I can understand. So you've fallen out of love with the car.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, in that case, dump this beast and get yourself, I would revisit the Scion.
The Scion, okay.
Yeah, it's as ugly as you think it is.
Which is exactly what I want.
But it's exactly what you want. It'll get attention, and it'll be pretty reliable.
Okay, and the newer ones are better as far as the crashworthiness.
Oh, yeah, no, they have side airbags.
Okay,
side
very
curtain
good.
Airbags, which the earlier one didn't have. When I first test drove that car, I fell in love with it. I fell out of love with it when I found out that it didn't have any side curtain airbags.
Correct.
And the doors were about a half an inch thick. That disappointed me. The new one is a little more substantial, and it does have the airbags. I was disappointed, however, with the fact that they put in a much bigger engine.
Okay.
I think the original one had a 1.6-liter engine, or 1.5, maybe. 1.5. And this one has a 2.4.
Not necessary.
Which with VVTI, variable valve timing with intelligence and all that, and it's and it gets poorer mileage, but it is a lot faster. And I think that they must have done some market research and found out that young people who they expected to buy this thing weren't buying it because maybe it wasn't fast enough.
I test drove an old one and it was a slug.
Oh.
That was not the 08.
I thought it was fast. Well, if you thought the old one was a slug, you'll love the new one.
Okay.
All right. Well,
good luck.
Thank you for your time.
See you, Kathy.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, do you remember last week's puzzler?
Oh, no. How about like a hint?
All right. The subject of the puzzler was something you know absolutely nothing about.
Oh, come on. Narrow it down. Give me a fighting chance here.
All right. It's something a lot of people get very excited about every October.
The debut of Montgomery Ward's new Cabana collection?
No, baseball! It was a baseball puzzler, and we'll be back with all the details and more of your car questions in just a minute.
Hey, I'm just a traveling musician who's got trouble with the transmission and the alternator and the ignition and the carburetor and the radio. Brakes begin to squeal. There goes the steering wheel, rolling down the highway in a beat-up borrowed car. Rolling down the highway in a beat-up borrowed car.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from the secondary auto body use we discovered from Mama Stamberg's Cranberry Relish from NPR, NPR member stations, and
SitForLess.com, selling all colors of the Herman Miller Aeron chair online, including the new color, True Black. SitForLess.com. And
Allstate, who reminds you to let that call go to voicemail when you're driving, especially if it's your brother calling. More information at Allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
Travelocity, with customer support available all trip long, so you'll never roam alone. Travelocity.com or 1-888-TRAVELOCITY.
And even though turkeys jostle each other to get to the chopping block first whenever we say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was sent in by Arnie Hartica.
Huh?
I think I pronounced his name right. And I think I said last week that I just read it the way he sent it. I didn't mess it up. Well, I didn't embellish it.
No. Yeah.
Oh, you want me to read it just like he sent it?
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Here it is. On the back of the dust cover of David Halberstam's book about the American League pennant race between the Red Sox and the Yankees, the summer of 49, that's the name of the book, there's a news photo of Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio standing side by side, leaning on their bats.
Uh-huh.
Little else is visible in the photo, but you can tell that the photo was taken at a ballpark. Any observant baseball fan can tell you instantly that the picture was taken at an All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
The question is, how can you tell? Now, how can you tell? Because they're both wearing their gray travel uniforms.
Oh, now, they're both not at home.
Right. If the picture were taken at Fenway Park, for example, where Ted Williams played, he'd be wearing his white home uniform, and Joe would be wearing his gray Yankees uniform.
Or vice versa.
Joe would be wearing his pinstripes, and Ted would be wearing his gray uniform that just says Boston on it.
Yeah.
Right? But they're both wearing uniforms that say they're both on the road. In fact, they were on the road. They weren't far on the road. Joe was still in New York. The All-Star game that year was played at Ebbets Field.
I knew that.
You probably were there. All right, who won? American League or National League?
Oh, American League.
Well, you're right about that, too.
And they won by a lot.
11-7, actually.
Hey.
Well, there you go. Do we have a winner?
Yeah, we do. The winner this week is Dan Evans from Yorba Linda, California, and for having his answer selected at random from among the pile of correct answers that we got. Dan is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our CD collection of four classic Car Talk shows called Four Perfectly Good Hours.
These are four particularly memorable shows that we've selected from the archives.
Yeah, we each picked a couple of shows, and one of the shows I picked was the one where this famous phrase originated.
You can't do it unless the number is two.
Jeez, I mean, you think I'll ever live that down?
Not if I can help it. Well, anyway, this
no, wait, well, you know, but you what? Know, I gotta tell you, it hurts. and it wouldn't be so bad if he just said, "Wow, you kind of made a mistake." But they had to put the reverb in and all that
yeah,
stuff,
well,
so it sounded
you can't
like
do it unless the number is two.
And I never said it that slowly. I never was so dramatic. I just said,
Oh, that's you.
That was me.
It's not. They didn't.
Did I say it with the reverb?
Well, that just happened.
Yeah, the reverb they added in the studio. I'm sick of it. I can't take it anymore.
Anyway, this collection of four classic Car Talk shows can be yours, Dan, along with your free Car Talk Plaza parking permit for being this week's Puzzler winner. Congratulations to you.
Well, anyway, stay tuned for another chance to win, because we have a new puzzler coming up in the third half of today's show. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is David calling from Albuquerque.
Hey, David. Hey. What's cooking?
Well, I have a whining car. I have a 2000 Dodge Stratus.
Uh-huh.
And when I get it up to about 35 miles an hour, it starts to whine. And goes like that. And then when I drop back down below about 30, the pitch goes down and it stops.
And it stops.
Mm-hmm. Now, I took it to the dealer and they said, oh, it's a ring and a pinion in your transmission and it's no big deal.
Oh.
You can keep driving for 100,000 more miles and you'll be just fine. But, you know, I work as a pastor and it's annoying.
It's very commonplace for a worn out ring and pinion, which is, by the way, is in the differential. It's not technically in the transmission, although because this is a front wheel drive car, it's in the same
area.
The same area,
okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when those gears are worn out, it will make exactly this noise where you'll get a howling kind of noise, usually when your foot is on the gas.
Mm-hmm.
And you take your foot off the gas, it usually goes away.
In fact, my brother Tommy had a 1967, what was that thing, a Suburban.
Suburban, yes.
And I had to borrow it one day. He had been, he never drove any place. He was just around town, and he said to me, oh, yeah, take the Suburban. I probably had to pick up some parts or something.
Yeah. Okay.
And I get out on the highway with this thing, and I'm driving along.
I think I told you, be careful, the police are everywhere.
Well, and next thing I know, I wasn't going that fast, maybe 60. I hear a police siren. So I pull over,
mm-hmm.
and there's no police car. And what I was hearing was this damn differential going, ooh. And, of course, as soon as I backed off from the gas, the siren went away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we tried everything in this. We tried every additive known to science.
Okay.
You know, including the time-ordered ones, sawdust, bananas.
Bananas are good.
Cream of wheat. you know, you name it, we tried it, and nothing worked. And the only thing, we eventually replaced the gears.
Okay.
Yeah, but you've got, this thing is only a few years old.
Right.
So you've got to fix it.
Yeah, and I suppose it could stay at this level for a long time, but it's starting to drive you nuts, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're starting to make fun of my car. I'll be driving people around town, and they'll say, oh, your car's complaining again. You know, or things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, in this car, I'm pretty sure you have to take the transmission completely out, and this differential is inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you'd have to replace the gears, but it involves quite a bit of disassembly. Did they give you a price?
They did not. They said, just keep driving it. You're better off that way.
Just keep driving it. How were you dressed that day? Were you dressed like you didn't have any money?
I was dressed like a college student.
Like a college student. Well, they give you great advice, David.
How many miles on this?
85,000.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's too soon to be just giving up on it.
Any chance you can get Dad to pay for this?
I can try, but no, I've graduated now, and I'm working, and I'm, you know, driving around town to visit people and taking people around, so now it's really annoying. You
actually have a job, and you
have a radio in this vehicle?
I do, yes.
turn it up.
Well, I think long before it gets, I mean, the danger is if the gears can actually break, but long before that, it's going to howl like a pack of
wolves.
Oh, man,
it's going to drive you nuts.
If you think it's driving you crazy now, wait 6 months.
Okay.
Well, you know, I don't think it'll drive you nuts because I remember in my Suburban, I didn't even hear it after a while.
Oh, no, it drove you nuts. Trust me. Oh, no. Oh, that, I don't know what,
No.
I don't know if it was that, but.
No, I was already nuts.
No. That put you over the edge. So, David.
Because I had the 56 Chevy before that.
Yeah. David, take this as a word of advice.
Okay.
Do something about it, unless you want to end up like my brother.
That's great.
Well, I think it's going to cost you like $1,000 to fix it. But if it's driving you nuts, you might as well just bite the bullet and do it.
All right.
Good luck, David.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
How are you?
Good. Where are you from?
I'm from La Center, Washington, which is near Portland, Oregon. That's the closest big city that anybody
would know. We'll say you're from Portland. Good enough.
Good enough.
What's up?
Washington. Okay.
I have a 1967 Ford pickup truck.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
It was having some problems starting. So I was kind of having to do like the pop the clutch to get it started. So when I'd go run a little errand or something, I'd just park on a hill, right?
Right.
Okay, well, I was coming home, and I have a really steep driveway, and I turned it off, got out to open the gate, got back in, and it wouldn't start. So I, you know, started down the driveway, and I popped the clutch. Well, I didn't know that you're supposed to have the key on, and I just blew my muffler apart. Literally, it sounded like a bomb went off. So,
I'm sorry for laughing.
So
you turned the key on while you were in the, he would let it roll for a while, and then you said, oh, the key's not on, and then you turned the key on.
No, I didn't even turn the key on.
No, she just popped the clutch.
Okay, so the car was still having problems starting, and now it sounded like a hot rod.
Right.
So, I replaced the starter, and replacing the starter seemed to solve the starting problems. But I went and I got a new muffler, and ever since this whole bit of things I did, it's been making this kind of rattling, popping sound. And I tried to see if I've blown some kind of another exhaust leak, but I can't find one. And then it's also making the sound in an idle that just kind of goes.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So does it run rough at idle?
Yeah.
But it starts right up, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it starts right up since you replaced the starter motor.
It's starting fine now. And I also put this, I don't know what it was called. It's some kind of like an igniter thing because it had points before.
Oh, so somebody had swapped it over to electronic ignition.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's fine, too. So now you turn the key and it starts like it should have all this time.
Right.
And the muffler is fairly quiet because you put a new one on there.
Right.
And how is it on power?
And the power, it's like it's every time I go up the hill, it loses power and it makes that rattling sound.
So power is not good.
The rattling sound sounds like pinging to me.
Oh, okay.
So when you said you changed that igniter thing, you didn't by any chance take the distributor out to do that or turn it, did you?
Yeah, I might have.
You screwed it up. Okay.
Oh, man.
Well, what you did is you changed the timing. You changed the point at which each of the spark plugs fires.
Oh.
For example, if each of the spark plugs is supposed to fire like 10 degrees before each of the pistons reaches the top of its stroke, but now it's firing at, say, 20 degrees, it's going to diminish your power, and it's going to make that noise that sounds like a bunch of marbles rattling around in a coffee can.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, so you need to take it. You have a timing light? Of course not.
No, I don't have
You have to find someone who has a timing light.
Okay.
Yeah, you can advertise. You can put an ad on the internet saying, I need someone with a timing light, I'll make dinner.
I have a timing light, I'll be happy to lend it to you.
But you can just as easily go to a repair shop and say, could you time this thing for me?
Okay.
They'll need to loosen the distributor, time it, and this thing's going to run like a dream.
Oh, nice.
Well, until the next thing breaks.
Right.
So you'll be calling next week.
Yeah.
See you, Rebecca.
Yeah, but take it to the mechanic because he may have to take the distributor out and then put it back.
Okay.
Yeah, if you put it in really wrong. But I'm guessing he'll be able to turn it enough to adjust it.
Yeah, I'm guessing too.
Okay.
Yeah.
If it runs.
That sounds doable. That's very good news.
Oh, All right. See ya.
Thank you.
Bye.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello. How you doing?
Who's this?
My name is Marcus, calling from Flagstaff, Arizona, but I'm originally from Milton, Massachusetts.
No kidding.
Marcus said?
Marcus.
Oh, Marcus.
Okay.
Like Marcus Aurelius.
Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Welby, MD. I've heard it all.
That too. Well, just...
And you moved from the Boston area to Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yeah, I've been out west for 8 years now.
You love it?
What prompted you to do that?
I love it. I moved out here to go to finish college. Couldn't afford the schools back east.
Yeah.
So ended up graduating from NAU in Flagstaff, and I love this town.
So are you a cowboy? You wear boots and the hat now and all that stuff?
No, definitely not.
What do you mean definitely not?
No, I don't. I'm still a city boy at heart.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
What do you drive?
I drive an 89 Jeep Cherokee that I bought off eBay from the state of Colorado.
No kidding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, and obviously you're having problems with it, otherwise you wouldn't have called us.
Well, no, actually, my question is, somebody had told me that 55 miles an hour was originally established as the speed limit during the gas shortage because it was the most fuel-efficient speed to drive at. And I've had a lot of fuel efficiency problems with my Jeep, and I'm wondering if it's that.
Well, the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit was instituted during the oil shortage.
This was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. But the fact of the matter is that 55 is not the most efficient speed.
Okay.
It turns out 40 is the most efficient speed. But they thought 55 was a good compromise to head off civil unrest. because I think if we had asked people to go from driving 75.
Yeah.
Or whatever the speed limits were for most of the, you know, interstates.
Yeah.
Down to 40.
Yeah.
There would have been hell to pay for that.
Huh. Is there a certain speed that for every car that is like the most fuel efficient, or how does that work?
Well, no, I think it's pretty much standard that the faster you go, the more drag there is on the car.
Yeah, because you got more wind resistance.
Gotcha.
Right.
But the best speed is probably around 40.
Well,
yeah.
But it was around 40 then, perhaps, because, or closer to 40 then. Because we didn't have, five, six, and seven speed transmissions. But now, you know, you got engines that are running at highway speed below 2,000 RPM. So your goal is to minimize the amount of wind resistance by keeping the speed, you know, below a certain level. And also being in
a good speed for the transmission.
Right. Yeah. So they make the engine turn as slowly as possible, too.
Uh-huh.
You know, so 55 might be the best speed now.
Yeah.
You know, once you get beyond 55, I think it starts to you run into the law of diminishing returns, as they say.
Yeah, especially in a boxy Jeep like mine.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, there is not a rounded corner on that Jeep.
No, and I went from a Volvo to this. So,
I mean, the only thing they could have done to make it less aerodynamic would have been to attach cinder blocks to the roof.
Yeah.
I mean, they made no effort whatsoever.
No, they didn't.
Well,
I mean, it's like they went out of their way. They said, we could round the corners off, you know, and probably get an extra mile per gallon. They said, why bother to do that? We're getting seven. Who cares about getting eight? And they decided, the hell with that. We're going to square off everything and make it look as ugly as we possibly can. And
if the state of Colorado would have rounded off some of the corners for me or something, sanded them down.
Yeah, you can round off the corners with a sledgehammer. A sledgehammer and a case of beer ought to do it, Marcus. Anyway, if you want to get the best mileage, I'd say stay at 55, although it seems like everyone, for whatever reason, is driving at 80 these days.
Yeah, the speed limits out here are like 75 on most of the highways. So
yeah.
I'd probably get pulled over if I did 55.
Well, good luck, guys. Marcus.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. I think it's time for us to take a little break.
And I understand that we're taking this break so that our stations can identify themselves.
No. Not identify. Indemnify.
Oh,
got it?
Yeah.
Well, we'll have the new puzzler and more of your car questions in just a minute, so don't go away.
We'll be right back.
Nova, no go. I don't think so. Oh, Coche Grande, are you? You got the best sounding horn I've ever heard. And at the light I leave him clear behind me. The seats, how they bounce, and that steering wheel goes round and round. An experience every time I drive. She's more attitude than a Mustang or Vette, and with those windows down, she'll give me a do I won't forget.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from our new Junkyard Jungle Gym sets for tots. Chainmail gloves and tetanus shots required from NPR, NPR member stations, and
LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And
Allstate, who has accident forgiveness, part of your choice auto. For those of you who drive on the same roads as my brother, more information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? And
Angie's List, providing thousands of reports on local service companies. These reports come directly from the experiences of the members themselves. Angie'sList.com.
And even though man-eating sharks lose their appetites whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
And this was sent in. Of course, I had to.
I'm going
to
remember this one.
You are going to remember. You are going to remember because the original Puzzler was yours.
Really?
Yes. And you'll see.
I'll all, remember. I'll remember.
All, yeah?
No.
This was sent in by a fellow named Charlie Sona from Cliffwood Beach, New Jersey, who's been spending a lot of time at the local nut house there. And he writes, "Dear Click and Clack, I am a longtime listener of your show, and I love it." There's a nut house thing going on.
Yeah.
"I was just watching a car commercial, and it reminded me of an old Puzzler. A few years back, you had a Puzzler that asked, what is the only car model that's a plural noun?"
Yes.
I should remind people that cars have two names, the make and the model. For example, Buick Enclave,
yeah.
You know, Honda Accord. Honda is the manufacturer, you know, and Accord is the model. Mm-hmm. Ford Mustang.
Dodge, Toyota Camry.
Yeah, Dodge Charger. And in each case, you know, Enclave, Accord, Mustang, the model is singular, right? It's not Ford Mustangs.
Right.
It's not Honda Accords. Right?
Yeah.
Now, when we came up with the original Puzzler, we had one model in mind that was a plural noun. That model is still sold today. It's been on sale for like 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And to our surprise back then, our one listener came up with another model that we hadn't thought of that was a plural noun. Uh-huh. And that car is no longer being sold. And now we've noticed that there is yet another plural noun model name on the market. And this one was introduced in the year 2000. And here's the question. What are the three models? One of them is no longer made. It disappeared in the 2002 model year. Another one, our original, has been around since the late 80s and is still sold today. And the third one has only been around since the year 2000.
Wow.
Now, if you think you know the answer.
It's going to take some work.
It sure is. I'll give a hint. If you get one of them, you'll get the other two pretty easily.
No kidding.
I think. Yeah. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the underside of a handy hut-covered walkway with double-paned, argon-filled glass walls, heated brick and cobblestone floor, architecturally compatible copper-covered pitched roof, and piped-in Sleepy LaBeef music. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. This is Nick calling from Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Nick.
Yeah.
From where?
Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
How do you spell it?
T-A-H-L-E-Q-U-A-H.
Forget it. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Oklahoma. I got it.
Oklahoma's good enough.
What's going on,
good enough. Yeah, hey, I'm calling because I drive a 2001 Jetta, and when I shift gears, mainly from first to second, sometimes from second to third, it makes a pop whiz. It goes like, and I don't know if that's like fine German engineering or something wrong with the clutch.
Doesn't sound like great engineering to me.
No, it doesn't sound like that to me either, but I was hoping.
Is it when you're stepping on the clutch you're getting this, or when you're actually just at the end and putting it in gear?
It's at the end, like when you're putting it in gear or when you're switching from gear to gear. Oh.
So you go from first to second, and then where's your foot with the clutch?
Not off yet. Still on the floor.
Still on the floor? Or is it on the way up?
On the way up.
It's on the way up, and it makes this noise.
Yeah.
Only when you're shifting from first to second, and you're taking your foot off the clutch.
Yeah, sometimes it happens when you go from, like, second to third, though.
But you're in gear. You're already engaged in second or already engaged in third, and you're starting to take your foot off the clutch, and that's when you hear the noise.
Yeah.
You've already completed the movement of the shifter, but now you're letting your foot off the clutch.
That is exactly right.
Does it ever pop out of gear?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet, yeah. Well, you know, I just got it in August. It's used, and it only had 52,000 miles on it, but I've already had to put, like, plugs on it and wires and all that kind of stuff, and I think I might have gotten a lemon, but I don't know.
Was it yellow?
No.
Jeez.
Well, I mean, that's about right for needing spark plugs, but
okay.
That's about all.
It's not right for needing a transmission, which it may need. It sounds to me, does it do it if you downshift into second or downshift into third as well?
No, not at all.
Only when you're shifting from first to second and you're taking your foot off the clutch.
Yeah, sometimes it happens when you go from, like, second to third, though.
And make the noise?
it goes like... Yeah. And I hear other cars in town do it, too.
You do?
I've heard a couple of cars do it as well. And I'm like, my car makes that noise. I wonder if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I've never heard a car make this noise.
No, I mean, my original feeling, and I think Tom's too, was that maybe you have bad synchronizers in your transmission. Just to be on the safe side, I would have somebody check the transmission oil level.
Yeah.
Okay,
which I don't believe you can do yourself on this car. I don't think there's a dipstick. I think you have to take it someplace.
Okay.
Okay, but I would do that on the off chance that you're low on transmission oil, because that could certainly
cause
it.
Let's hope for that.
Well, let's hope for that in a way, but if that is true, I'm guessing that the noise isn't going to go away even if you replenish the lost fluid, because I think you may have transmission gear synchronizers on the way out, the second and third gear, and those are the ones that get used the most. You know, those are the second and third of the gears that get upshifted and downshifted into the most.
Yeah.
So if something's going to get worn out from abuse, that's it.
Okay.
But 50,000 miles is pretty soon for that to happen.
But you said you think you might have gotten a lemon. What else gave you this idea? Were there, like, demolition derby bumper stickers on this thing that just gave you some idea that maybe it hadn't been driven gently?
Well, you know, it had really low miles, and it was a really good deal, and, you know, like, there's just been, like, small things. Like, when I bought it, it didn't have a spare tire, and I had to go buy a spare tire for it, and it needed, like, a thing on the front bumper that needed to be fixed. So there were, like, all of these little tiny things, and I think that...
Yeah, well, on 50,000 miles, spare tires evaporate. It's a little known.
I don't think you necessarily got a lemon here.
Okay, I hope not.
Unless you find out you need a transmission. But you know, I'm trying to think of something else it could be that's not going to cost you thousands.
Well, I like that idea.
And I have a sinking suspicion that this could be this noise that you made for us, this zing kind of noise, could be a piece of sheet metal rattling.
Okay, well, it sounds kind of like a whoopee whistle.
Ooh. Well, you know, there's a piece of sheet metal that sits atop the exhaust manifold on this thing, and that can rattle and make a very whoopee whistle kind of noise. You should try to reproduce the noise by not driving the car, rather revving up the engine in maybe 100 RPM increments and seeing if you can reproduce the noise without moving the car, that is, without having it in gear.
Sure, just in neutral.
In neutral, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And if that's the case, then you can cross the transmission off the list, and then you can look for a loose piece of sheet metal.
Cool.
Good luck, man.
All right. See you guys later.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I don't know if you remember.
I don't.
You don't even know what it is yet. How do you know you don't remember?
Trust me. I remember nothing.
All right. Well, I was going to mention that we've asked our listeners to help us come up with a title for our animated TV series that we're doing on PBS next summer.
Yeah, we need a title, preferably something printable.
Well, I don't know if PBS will go for any of these, but we've gotten some interesting suggestions so far, and here are a few. You ready?
Yeah.
Transmission impossible.
That's not bad. How about wait, wait, don't tell me.
Nuts and dolts. Oh, that fits. Fool injected.
Ah. How about dull, winkle, and blocky?
Ooh, I like this one. The missing linkage.
That's us. Sponge Tom spare parts.
This is my favorite so far. 20 minutes and still not canceled.
That's us. Anyway, we're still collecting ideas. So if you want to check out the details of the show and suggest a title, you can do it at cartalk.com. If you have a question about your car, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Sedalia, Missouri.
Hi, Jennifer.
Sedalia.
Yeah, Sedalia, about 70 miles east of Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, what's up, Jennifer?
Wow.
Well, my husband and I have a 2001 Volvo 70 XC all-wheel drive wagon.
Yeah, you have an XC70.
Love it. Totally love it.
Cross country.
Has 141,000 miles on it. And we're wondering if you guys can tell us how much weight the back seat will hold.
Is there a mother-in-law involved here?
There's a teenage driver involved.
Is it you have three rows of seats? Because you can get this thing with the third row of seats.
Right. No, we just have the back seat and then the hat.
The way back.
Yeah. So you're concerned about the actual back seat.
Right. We want to know how much weight we can put in there.
Well, like, what are you considering?
Well, we have a 15-year-old daughter who's, getting ready to get her permit.
Yeah.
And we're really anxious, about having a teenage driver.
Yeah.
Especially, since she said, I encouraged her to read, the Missouri Driver's Manual.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she didn't see any point in that.
Oh.
Before she takes the test and everything.
Okay, all right.
So our main concern is that she's going to fill that back seat with lots of rowdy teenagers.
Oh.
So my husband and I, we were conspiring, how could we...
Want to tell her you can't put more than 200 pounds back there.
No, we want to fill the back seat with, concrete blocks.
Oh, I see. Oh, concrete blocks can be removed. You want to fill it with concrete.
Well, we want to be able to put people back there, when we drive it.
Yeah.
But we're just kind of wondering if there's something, that we could put in the back seat.
First of all, you don't have to worry because if she's not going to read the book, she's not going to get her license. I mean, how does she expect to get her license without ever reading the book?
Well, I think that I should have her call you so that you can, explain that to her. Because...
Oh, no, I don't think so. I think she needs to experience firsthand how difficult it is to pass the test without having read the book, because there are certain things that you can't possibly know.
I mean, I'll bet that she thinks she knows it all.
Right, and she's actually not a very good driver.
Oh, she's not.
Yeah, and so we've just been trying to strategize about how we could keep the back seat empty.
Well, the concrete blocks are a bad idea. Number one, they can be removed by any number of teenage boys placed by the side of the road
and then replaced
when she goes home. But worse than that is that if there were an accident, those concrete blocks are
going
to be flying all over the place and decapitating people.
We don't want anybody to...
You don't want anyone
decapitated.
No.
Yeah, that would be really bad.
I'd let her just take the test and hope she flunks. And that'll give you some more time.
Now, I don't know about Missouri, but I know in our state, kids are not allowed to have anyone else in the car for the first 6 months that they drive, I think.
Yeah, I think it's that way in Missouri. And, of course, when you have only your permit, you're not allowed to have anybody in the car except your parents.
In fact, you must have an adult. You must have an adult licensed driver.
Yeah, we're just trying to come up with as many scare tactics as we can, to try to kind of help her think that she needs to study and, come up with some ideas.
So you're worried that the boys in the back seat, whooping and hollering, are going to goad her into doing something ill-advised.
You're reading my mind.
Well, of course they are.
Yeah, but boys have been trying to do that since the dawn of time. And she's got to have resolve. She's got to be strong.
Yeah.
And she's going to get that from you, Jennifer.
I know, because I am, I have to say, I'm the more stern parent here.
Yeah.
And, I just about blew my blood pressure when I said, hey, how about we go by and get the book? And she was like, Mom, I don't need to read the book. If I fail, I'll just take the test again.
Well, I don't think she should. If she's this smart, she shouldn't be wasting her time taking any stupid driver tests. She should go right to medical school. tell her to apply to Columbia Medical School, and they'll just let her in, and she can say, I can't drive there because I don't have a license, but she can take the train.
Yeah, or maybe I could say, if you get into medical school, then you don't have to study for your driver's
license. Yeah,
bingo.
That's right.
But you can make, you know, our parents had spies.
Yeah.
And whether or not they really had a network of spies or not, I don't know. But whenever I was doing something wrong, I would get home and my mother would say, a friend of mine saw you today in the center. And whether she was making it up or playing a hunch or whatever, we never knew. But she did it with all of us. She said, and I'd say, what friend saw us? I won't tell you that.
No.
But she said you were with a bunch of guys and you were causing trouble.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of trouble? She didn't know, but it didn't look good. But she called me, and he'd say, jeez, I can't go. So you,
what a network.
and it worked.
So you're just telling me I need to lie better.
There you go.
Yeah, I can do that, totally.
And make the rule that you can't have boys in the car. Or anybody in the backseat, for that matter, but especially boys.
Well, she's a good kid overall. She's, you know, a good student, wonderful young woman, but the driving is really making me very nervous.
And I don't blame you.
No, and I'm sure she's a good kid.
Yeah.
And but you do want it to go on to Columbia Medical School, but you don't want her to crash the car and not do that. So you need to start developing the spy network now.
Yeah, when Audrey comes home, then I start filling her head with all kinds of paranoia.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
That's right.
Mrs. Smith saw you, Audrey. She said you were driving a little fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
I love that. I'm so glad I called because I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Well, don't share this with her, obviously, but be as devious as you need to be.
Okay, thanks, guys. This is really helpful.
Good luck.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Jennifer. I'm exhausted now. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David Gibraltar Green. Our senior web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fort Lee Baked Brie, Green Tea, Kimchi, Yak Ghee, Snap Pea, Chablis, Sushi, and High C Fat Free Sortie, is John Bugsy Lawler. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our windshield wiper replacement team is Ike and Zeke Learley. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our jewelry appraiser is Golda Meyer. Our emergency humor hotline operator is Joe Klein. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmeda. Our alignment expert is Lou Sagusi. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horse She Rode In. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the Type A Christmas shoppers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Okay, ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 746, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, help us name our short-lived TV series.
It hasn't even aired yet. How do you know it's going to be short-lived?
Because someone at PBS told me that that's the working title that they're using, Car Talk, the short-lived TV series.
Well, help us come up with a better name. We need one. Find out more all week at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring. Catalog at lumberliquidators.com. And
the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And
Allstate, who would like to say, keep up the good driving to safe drivers everywhere. And get off the road, you knucklehead, to drivers like my brother. More information at allstate.com. Are you in good hands? Car Talk is a production of Dewey Cheatham and Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though pneumatic drill operators say, "What is that noise?" whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.